Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We are back here on Sports Talk this Tuesday, June 24th, now less than 24 hours away from the start of the NBA draft, where the Pelicans now own 2 first-round picks and 1 in the second. They made a trade today, dealing C.J. McCollum, Kelly Olynyk, and a future second-rounder to the Washington Wizards for Jordan Poole, Sadiq Bey, and the number 40 pick in the draft, which will be on Thursday night. You said that was, what, number 10 overall, Charlie, in the second round?
Yeah, it's the 10th selection in round 2.
All right, so the Pelicans, 3 top 40 selections going into this draft with Joe Dumars now leading the helm.
And now the question is, do they use all 3 of them?
Right.
And like we said, kind of mentioned last hour, I don't know about you, Steve, but I kind of anticipate that they will. Maybe they decide to get frisky a little bit and trade up, but I don't even know if they would necessarily do it in, like, the lottery. Like, maybe they'll do it with the 23rd overall pick and the 40th pick and try and move up a couple spots in the first round. Maybe you have to attach a future second or something like that to do it as well. Or a young piece. We don't really know what the price tag would be or where they would move up just to secure a player. But right now, with how the Pelicans are positioned, I think they probably do use all 3 picks.
Yeah, I'm curious to see as well. There's been a ton of buzz or rumors floating around with trades attached to the names of like a Trey Murphy or a Herb Jones.
Those are the core pieces of this Pelican team. And I don't know, unless it's like a major move to like number 2 or something like that, I don't think I would do it at this point. Now, the interesting thing with Trey Murphy is that we saw the market set with the Desmond Bane trade to Orlando last week, where Desmond Bane got traded for 4 first-round picks.
Still can't believe that.
KCP, who was terrible in Orlando, but he's still a veteran piece that had won a championship a couple years prior. Actually, a couple of championships. Won one with the Lakers and then one with the Nuggets. And then what was the last piece of that trade, Steve? I'm blanking on it. It was a younger player. But anyways.
Yeah, I can't recall off the top of my head the name. I'll look it up.
So, like, that was kind of the market. It's a seller's market right now, where if you're trying to move on from a player that has any type of value entering their prime, like a Desmond Bane, like a Trey Murphy, you could get a very sizable return, but is it worth it really to do that? If you're the Pelicans, you know, unless it's like a major, major, major trade like that Desmond Bane trade, I don't think I would move Trey Murphy, and I don't think I would move Herb Jones.
It was Cole Anthony also involved in that deal.
That's the young player. So it was what Chris Dawson had reported, that Trey Murphy's current market value that's being set by Joe Dumars in the Pelicans front office is multiple first-round picks, a veteran that can play playoff minutes, and a young piece. And I believe it. I mean, the market was set with the Desmond Bane trade. So if they wanted to do it and it's a return like that, you wouldn't necessarily be disappointed. But at the same time, Trey Murphy's the core building block on this roster. You love what you've seen from him and the development and the growth that he showed last year, and you're expecting him to take another step. He just turned 25 years old, Steve. You don't want to give up on that guy unless it is a sizable, sizable return.
Yeah, because it's not like we're, you know, swimming in 3-point threats, and that's what this NBA we know is all about.
Sadiq Bey is a good 3-point shooter. So that's another piece or part of the puzzle, I guess you could say, with trading for him. Jordan Poole is a volume 3-point shooter. He's been a solid 3-point shooter in his career as well. And then also Herb Jones was kind of a 3-and-D guy before he got injured this past year. And you have some shooting on this team. You know, it'll be interesting to see what their plan is for Jordan Poole and Sadiq Bey. As we mentioned, Poole's almost certainly going to be a starter on this roster next year. And then Sadiq Bey could be like a 6-man or, you know, the first key guy off the bench for the wing spot for this Pelicans roster behind Herb Jones and Trey Murphy. But you have a couple shooters here. It's not like it's completely devoid of 3-point shooting talent. It's just a matter of getting 3-point shots up, which was continuously an issue with Willie Green, that he kept having to say, yo, you know, we got to get more threes up. We got to shoot more threes in every regular season game. But it's not that for the lack of talent that this team has as far as 3-point shooting. They added a couple more pieces that can get it up from beyond the arc.
Well, that's one thing. You don't have to worry about Jordan Poole being shy about jacking it up.
you know, when you think about the people that criticize Jordan Poole and criticize his game just in general, that's the one thing that really, really stands out amongst most critics is the ego of Jordan Poole, where he has to get his shot. He has to get his numbers.
I've already seen people like, who's going to be passing the ball now in the Pelicans?
Exactly. That's the criticism of Jordan Poole. I'm really, really looking forward to talking with Nick Friedell about him. You know, Jordan Poole was someone that kind of disappeared in Washington. But you look at the numbers and it's still like, he's still playing decent basketball when he's on the floor.
Yeah.
It's just that it's kind of almost empty because the Washington Wizards aren't doing anything. And you don't want it to be that same way with the Pelicans. You want him to be putting up meaningful numbers on a team that's winning basketball games where he can be contributing. And even though he's getting a shot up, he's not necessarily taking away from the rest of the team. He's a team player that kind of helps everybody else as well as at that combo guard position. So it'll be really, really interesting to see how he kind of fits into this Pelicans culture that Joe Dumars is trying to build. But yeah, I mean, you just look at him as a player. If you like him, you like him. If you don't, you really, really don't. It is one of the few players in the NBA that there is such a divide between fans of Jordan Poole and haters of Jordan Poole that either really like his game, think he's a really exciting player who's only 26 years old, the best could be yet to come, or think that he's a selfish player, that his ego is too big, he gets too many shots up, he's not a winning player. And once again, the quote-unquote like empty calorie stuff or empty minutes, empty shot attempts, just he's not a winning player, so to speak.
So that last text you sent me, I'm wondering, did you send that to Joe Dumars as well? Because I'm still, you know, puzzled and looking here from this tweet that went out about Nuggets owner Josh Kroenke completely unprompted just brought up the possibility of trading Nikola Jokic.
It was,
what?
There's no universe. But granted, there was no universe where you should trade Luka Doncic, so I don't know anymore. The NBA, the fun part about the offseason for the NBA is how unpredictable it can be from time to time.
I move mountains to get Joker, man.
And while you see like the free agent class and it's not that enticing, there's still going to be moves made throughout the offseason that we're just talking about on Sports Talk. It's just like, what the heck just happened, right? You've already seen a couple trades made today ahead of the draft. Maybe more could be coming. We'll talk with Nick about it in just a second here. Jaylen Brown is a name that's being popped up a lot for Boston.
Yeah.
Boston's below the second apron now. I think they're still technically in the luxury tax after trading both Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis off their team. We'll see what they end up doing, but apparently Jaylen Brown is a piece that's being heavily, like, Boston's getting a lot of offers for Jaylen Brown right now, and we'll see if they end up moving on from him too. And the East could just continue to get worse. I guess we'll figure it all out.
Looking here too, Kroenke went on to talking about Jokic. We're definitely going to offer a contract extension. I'm not sure if he's going to accept it or not.
That is spicy indeed, Steve.
Man, I would move, like I said, move mountains to bring him to New Orleans. I know that it is, the percentage wise is unlikely.
No.
It's nice to dream, though.
Oh, absolutely. He's one of the best players, if not the best player in the modern NBA.
Absolutely.
And realistically, his career trajectory, depending on what happens the next few years and before he retires, could end up as an all-time great big.
He's still just 30, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's got plenty of good years ahead of him, too, with the way he plays as well. So if the Nuggets were stupid enough to trade Nikola Jokic, 29 teams in the NBA are going to call with their best offer. That's how good that dude is.
We're going to take a break, give our best offer to Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell after the break. Help us break down everything going on with the draft, all these trades happening, and some of the top options for the Pelicans in this NBA draft. So we'll be right back with more of Sports Talk. Stay tuned right after this on WWL.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Tomorrow, love you tomorrow, draft day for the NBA, round one, tipping off. On the line with us right now to help us break it all down, Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell. Insider Call is brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Nick, how the heck you doing, man? What's going on?
Guys, it's always great to be with you, but especially on a day when there's a lot of stuff going on, so I'm looking forward to it.
Man, oh man, yeah, it's a pretty wild day already. We definitely, me and Charlie have been batting around back and forth. The Pels trade, of course, C.J. McCollum, Kelly Olynyk, and a future second rounder going to Washington. The Wizards send them back our way. Jordan Poole, Sadiq Bey, and the number 40 pick in the NBA draft this year, which will be the second round on Thursday. Just your initial thoughts on this move that went down. It's been a pretty mixed bag of thoughts about a guy that's coming to New Orleans in Jordan Poole.
And this is the NBA trade equivalent of a shoulder shrug. Because, guys, when I saw that deal go down and I saw the names going in different directions, I was kind of like, okay. I say that because I watched Jordan Poole from the time he got into the league. I was out there still in the Bay Area when the Warriors drafted him. And when I watched Jordan for the first year and a half, I didn't think he was a pro. Man, I didn't think he was going to make it in the NBA. He could shoot it a little bit, but his game had so many different holes. To his credit, guys, and this is what I think the Pelicans are counting on here, over the course of when the pandemic hit and the Warriors weren't in the bubble, and then they had all that time before they started playing games again, Jordan Poole lived in the gym. You talk to any of those Warriors coaches, and they'll tell you nobody worked harder than Jordan Poole in that year, really in between for them, because they didn't play any games. He was a huge part of that team that won another title. He really got things rolling, and then the incident with Draymond happened, and it soured everything for him, and the team felt the need to move him. So I think Jordan Poole has proven that he can be a solid player in the right situation. The issue, as I watch him, especially in these last couple of years with the Wizards, you see him and you're kind of like, you know, what's he doing? He's just racing down the floor, jacking up a bunch of shots. So in the right setting, I think he can still be a solid player, but I wouldn't bank on it, especially with the contract in place. And you know, if you're the Pelicans, you're hoping to catch lightning in a bottle twice here, because the Warriors saw what he could be. They moved him because the deal didn't fit. If he's comfortable in his surroundings and he's feeling good about the people around him, maybe he can get rolling again.
You know, Nick, I want to get your thoughts on Sadiq Bey as well. Someone that started his career with obviously Detroit in 2020, and he finished fourth in Rookie of the Year voting. He had a really solid career early on with Detroit, gets moved to Atlanta, and then he suffers the ACL tear in 2024, and then he's out all of last year. So he didn't even play a game with Washington. I wanted to get your thoughts on him, because I feel like that's almost an underrated piece of this whole thing, because if he comes back and is about, you know, 90% of the player that he was when he was with the Pistons, that's a bench player that the Pelicans can rely on, like behind someone like Herb Jones and Trey Murphy as a wing player that can shoot the three, score about 15 points per game, play at least quality defense. I just want to get your thoughts on Bey, because I think that was a pretty cool piece.
Charlie, I think the point is well taken about Bey, because if you plug him in and he's healthy, you have a rotation guy that you can lean on, and you'd still like to believe, guys, that he can get better. I mean, he's not that old. He just had the type of injury that when you suffer it, everybody kind of goes, we'll see. And I guess that's, if you're the Pelicans, what's your kind of looking at right now, you're going, we'll see, but we believe that he can bounce back. And this is also where, guys, you have to trust your medical staff, because you know all those records went through every possible checkpoint. If you believe that he's going to be able to be close to that player, Charlie, like you mentioned, then great. Okay, then he's a piece. You can find some rhythm for him coming off the bench again as he makes his way back. But this is one of those coin flips. I guess if you're the Pelicans and you're down as low as they are at the moment, it's worth the risk, because if he comes back and he looks like the player he was before the injury, then everything's good. But if he's not close to that and you move to solid vet like CJ, then yikes.
You know, I wanted to bring this up as well with Troy Weaver, who's now the new GM of the Pelicans. Like, he had the connection with both players with the Washington Wizards. He was the senior advisor there in 2024. But also in 2020, Sadiq Bey, he traded for on draft night when he was the GM of the Detroit Pistons. And I know that that lasted from 2020 through 2024. But, you know, the connection there with Weaver, I think it's a little bit interesting. And on the opposite side, you just brought up CJ McCollum. I wanted to ask you about him because we'll talk about the NBA draft here in just a second. With the Wizards and kind of the moves that they've been making recently, going out and getting Chris Middleton, Marcus Smart, and now moving and grabbing both Kelly Olynyk and CJ McCollum, two veteran pieces, they have like a young core of players with Alex Saro, who they took second overall last year, and Bilal Coulibaly, who's shown some flashes earlier, Bob Carrington early in their careers, and the number six overall pick this year, who, you know, maybe Ace Bailey slides to them. I've seen a lot of mocks that have him going six overall. We'll see what happens with that entire situation, because that's an entirely separate story. But whatever piece that they get there is going to be another young player that they can add to this core. Going out and getting someone like CJ McCollum, I know that he's on an expiring deal, but getting these veterans to kind of teach these young players, the young core that they kind of have building in Washington, I think is obviously a good move for them too.
Charlie, it's very clear what Washington's like whole plan is. They are going to have these older guys teach the younger guys how to play, how to produce in the league, how to be consistently what the organization wants them to be. But, you know, it's one thing to have it all line up on paper. It's a whole nother thing for everybody to stay healthy and to be on the floor together. So I give them the credit of at least trying to make the plan happen. The flaw to me where you look at all this is you just name some of those veteran guys. Are we trusting that they're going to be out there that much? You can only help so much from the locker room a lot of the time. So I see what they're doing. CJ certainly has seen a whole bunch in his time in the league, and he can help. But the only way it really works is if you are drafting the right pieces, the older players are helping those younger players develop, and both young and old can be on the floor together at times to kind of find their way. If that doesn't happen, you know, the Wizards are just going to kind of languish in the middle of nowhere in the league. And I'd also add real quickly, you mentioned Troy Weaver. That is a guy who knows a lot about the players that he keeps pulling into the fold there. So it makes sense why those moves are the way they are. But again, there are so many different variables in building an NBA team. First and foremost, you got to hope that health-wise, everybody stays on the floor and can continue to build up the motion that it takes to get rolling forward instead of whatever direction the Pelicans have been going lately.
Insider Call is brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai helps protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second. Nick, looking at another big trade today happening. Man, oh man, the Boston Celtics sure are selling. Drew Holiday the other day, and now today sending Kristaps Porzingis to the Atlanta Hawks.
Steve, when you look at what the Celtics are doing, I give them credit for this, because I think we all agree that with Tatum going down, you're looking at that roster going, well, they're not good enough. This is not enough for them to get back into whatever that top tier of the East is. I'm not sure the moves that they've made are going to help them immediately, and it's very clear that the turnover is in place. But I'll give Brad Stevens this. As far as trusting executives in the last 5-6 years to make moves to put you on a course to go towards another title, I would put Stevens just behind Sam Presti at this point. And Presti, obviously, he did it once with KD and Harden and Westbrook, and he just did it all over again and got him to the mountaintop the other night because the Thunder finally won, and he's got all these draft picks. The guy is unbelievable at what he does. But Brad Stevens knows exactly what he wants to do. He knows the team that he wants to build, and he knows that everything changed with that one injury. So instead of just kind of waiting and seeing what happens with Tatum and trying to keep everything in place, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because he knows that he's got to start moving pieces now. He's doing it, and he's not waiting for some other kind of shoe to drop.
you know, Nick, and once again, I promise we'll get to the draft because I think the Celtics are really fascinating. You know, the one thing with moving off of those two players, they're now below the second apron of the salary cap. They could still potentially make another move. And I'm hearing a lot of buzz about Jaylen Brown, you know, the former finals MVP that won the championship with them just a couple of years back. And he's still a young piece of this roster. I mean, are the Celtics really going to entertain potentially moving on from him and just blowing everything up and kind of taking maybe a gap year with Jason Tatum's Achilles injury? What do you think about that?
Charlie, I would. If I were the Celtics, that's exactly the move that I would make, because I think Jaylen Brown is a hell of a player, but at that contract level, after he signed that extension, is he the type of player for that level of money who's going to give you exactly what you need night after night after night? I know he had a good postseason run and was awesome at times when they won the title a year ago, and you thought, all right, well, maybe he's coming into his own, but I don't know if he can be that type of number one guy, especially with Tatum out. And if you're unsure about that, you'd rather move him sooner than later and let the rest of the league figure out that he may not be, again, to that point. So if you're the Celtics and you're acknowledging, all right, we're going to make these trades and these pieces are going in different directions, and you're starting to look around and go, it may not be our year this year. If you're Brad Stevens, that is exactly the move that I would make. I would let Tatum heal up for the year, rehab, come back, and then build fresh around him a year from now. Boston becomes very, very fascinating because of all the different layers in play and all the different veterans that they've had on the roster. But as far as moving forward in the future, that is absolutely the move in my mind.
Now, Nick, looking at the NBA draft tomorrow, round one, the Pelicans have two picks, 7 and 23 now, and I've been seeing a lot of, you know, the rumors out there that the Pels could be going big, either with the 7 or the 23 pick. Just curious your thoughts on who'd be a good fit, you think, for New Orleans if they do decide to take that number 5, that big man.
If it's a big man from Duke, Steve, I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, Malawak, I think, can fill that role if you're strictly drafting for need. The biggest question mark or intrigue for me with New Orleans is there's a lot of, I'd say, hype around Ace Bailey and what kind of player he may be. I'm still not sold that he's going to be the kind of difference maker that people might have thought he was coming into last year. But when you have a team that has all these question marks and all the holes that New Orleans does, sometimes it makes sense to just draft based on the highest possible talent level that you got. And there are people that go both directions on Bailey, but the talent still appears to be there. It's trying to figure out who could potentially down the line become one of those players that you can build around. So is he that guy? Who knows? And anybody who tells you they know, guys, as I've learned with the draft, they're lying to you after pick one or two, because Cooper Flagg is going to be a superstar and Dylan Harper is a really solid player. After that, it's kind of like, who knows? But if you're the Pelicans, I wouldn't draft for need, because you have so many different holes on this roster. Whoever you think is the best talent, take the swing and hope for the best.
And I think they can afford to kind of be risky with the 7th overall pick. You brought up Malawach, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on him, because, you know, you see this guy, and he's a 7'2" kid from South Sudan with a 7'7" wingspan. He's got really long legs. He's got a smaller torso in comparison for at least a 7'2" guy. But all the talent in the world is a potential, like, NBA-ready, rim-running, rim-protecting big. But then you hear, like, some reports from his workouts in the pre-draft process that he's showing a little bit more of an expanded offensive game that he didn't really show at Duke. I mean, this was a guy that was a great screener, kind of had the pick and roll, like, diving to the rim, getting lobs, throwing down dunks. He had, like, the second most dunks in NCAA this past year. But if he has a little bit more of an expanded offensive game, I mean, the ceiling for this kid could be really, really fascinating. And if he's there at pick 7, similar with Ace Bailey, where you're kind of swinging for ceiling, I mean, who knows what could be potentially be there with Kaman Malawach, who's 18 years old as well.
Charlie, I'm with you. And when you watched Duke, what you saw was a very big man who could get up and down the floor. But as you mentioned, what you're hearing now is, all right, there's a little bit more to his game. and that's where we started the conversation on, you've got to trust the staff in play as far as the trade goes with Bay. You trust your doctors to look at everything and hope that everything kind of turns out the way you want. This is where you've really got to trust your scouts and your coaches, because if you believe that he can take Malawach, take that next step and become more of an offensive, I don't want to say force, but somebody that you aren't going to lose much with when you have him on the floor, well, then, yeah, why not? I mean, the dude is huge. He can come in right away and get you minutes, and he can grow into his body being so young still, on top of the fact that if there is some offensive game there, you allow yourself another weapon down low that team clearly hasn't had in a little bit. So when you're trying to figure out which direction teams go, this is where you've got to trust that the scouts that have been on these guys and watching them all year long, they know exactly what to do, and they believe in certain guys. And whoever New Orleans lands with tomorrow night, you can rest assured that they've been really having those conversations in the draft room going, all right, this is the guy. We believe there's more within. And usually at pick 7, you're going to get a really talented prospect. But, Charlie, I'd add this, no matter who it is it Bailey, is it the big man from Duke, is it somebody else, this is where your coaching staff comes into play in a major way, because wherever these guys are at tomorrow, they get drafted, you have to trust that the development can happen day to day. There's so many questions about that coaching staff in New Orleans, but this is where they're really going to be able to show they can make a difference in a young man's life.
For you, Nick, is there a prospect in this draft that you really like? You mentioned, I know, Cooper Flagg, number one, probably Dylan Harper, two. After that, it is a big crapshoot of, we know in this in the NBA drafts. But it's just curious, is there a prospect coming into this year that maybe you could see worthy of trading up for?
Steve, I love Cooper Flagg. You know, that's a real... it's a real stretch, because I think he's not only that good, but guys, I think he's a flat out superstar. And I think he's going to show that early on. The guy that caught my eye in the last couple months of the college regular season, and I think his game can translate quickly to the pros, is Colin Knipple. I say that because the kid can shoot the hell out of the ball. If you can do that consistently in the league, you are going to find minutes somewhere instantly, and you've got to believe, same thing, that he can grow into what he already showed in a year in Durham. So is he some kind of be-all, end-all star? No, I think the only surefire guy in that regard is Cooper Flagg. But as I watched the college game last year, and you start to talk to people around the league now, I think that's a guy that's going to end up going higher than we thought before. And I think that's a guy who can come in next year and really help somebody out, because if you can consistently shoot it from the outside like he can, as we know, the rest of the floor opens up for everybody else.
I'm seeing a lot of projections that have Knipple going forward to Charlotte, and you know, the criticisms on him, I don't even think they're valid. He's got such a high floor at the NBA level. And you just look at, you know, people saying that he's not athletic. I'm just like, what are we really watching here? He's got great size. He moves really well. He's a good off-the-ball player. He's a good connective piece, which is the word that keeps coming up every time we talk about Colin Knipple. But I don't know if he'll be there for the Pelicans, unfortunately, at 7. I think he's going to be gone by then. My last question for you, Nick, is the two guards that I keep seeing kind of mocked around the range of the Pelicans. Jeremiah Fierce from Oklahoma, the point guard, who a smaller point guard, we always kind of get a little bit worried about that part of the thing. And he doesn't play great defense, but he's a very, I guess the quote would be, dynamic piece with the ball in his hands. And he's a good shot creator. He's not a great 3-point shooter, but he's good with the ball in his hands, as I mentioned. And then also Trey Johnson from Texas, the freshman shooting guard that, I mean, you talk about an NBA ready shot maker. The guy can get buckets, and Just want to get your thoughts on those two players, because I've seen them projected to the Pelicans at 7, a couple different sites as well.
Charlie, as you were describing fears there and some of the highlights of his game and some of the limitations, I was thinking you were talking about Jordan Poole again, aside from the three-point shooting. And so then I'm thinking, you know, I don't know if that fit would be there. Again, this is where Joe Dumars, you've watched this stuff all year long. You've watched these games. You've got the reports. You just have to have trust there. With fears, if you can't shoot from the outside, I think you can grow into it to a point. But if you're not having success this early, it's a little bit of a red flag, especially in the era that we're in the league where everybody can shoot from the outside. With Trey Johnson, he's a little bit bigger of a guard. I think he can really play. But again, as I watched his game off and on throughout the season, I was never looking at him going, all right, this is a guy that I'm really, really sure about. And that, as always, guys, is the problem with the draft, because all these prospects have so much promise. But if you're not willing to put in the work day after day in the league, I mean, look no further than Zion. I mean, you guys live it every day during the season. If you're not going to put in the work and your body can't stay right, well, you're going to have real issues. So anytime the draft comes up, I just think to myself, there's a reason why the teams that stay near the top do. It's because the trust in their scouts is there. They've put in the legwork all year, and somebody's going to pop out there and get themselves a really solid pick somewhere. If you're New Orleans and you believe that Johnson is the guy, then just hope he's there, because Charlie, summing it all up, I'm not sure if he will be, given the way things are kind of filtering out, but there is a lot of intrigue in this draft, I think, after picks 3, maybe 4 with Knipple. Then it's wide open, and it seems like anything can happen.
Nick, always appreciate your time, man. Thanks so much. Hearing you talk hoops is always a pleasure. Thank you.
Guys, I love being with you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Nick.
For sure. That was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider Calls brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first, everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We shall return, though, so stay tuned right after this on WWL.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey, folks, if you live or work in Gonzales, meet up with Newell Norman tomorrow when he broadcasts live from the grand opening of the Gonzales Primary Care Plus on North Burnside Avenue. Exciting news for the community, and the sheriff would love to see you at the ribbon-cutting ceremony. Just stop by, say hey to Newell, Dr. Brent Wallace, and the crew at the new Primary Care Plus in Gonzales on North Burnside Avenue. That's tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here on WWLAMFM.com and, of course, the free Odyssey app. Taking another break, we back to close things out on this edition of Sports Talk as we get ready for the NBA draft tomorrow right here on WWL. We're closing up shop here on today's edition of Sports Talk. Tomorrow, Mike Dettillier, myself, and Charlie Long are going to be talking about round one of the NBA draft. Who would you like to see the Pelicans add with their first two rounders? And then LSU baseball celebrating their 8th national championship with fans in Alec Box Stadium. How's that Tigers roster looking for another title run in 2026 at 6 p.m.? Join WWL's NBA draft special from the Pelicans headquarters. Me and Charlie Long will be there breaking down round one with TV sideline reporter Andrew Lopez, writer and podcaster Jim Eichenhofer, Pels radio studio host Gus Kattengill, along with Pels TV host and reporter Aaron Summers. Just huddle up with me, Mike Dettillier and Charlie Long, 4 to 9 p.m. tomorrow on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. After that, LSU baseball fans will enjoy the national championship celebration. That'll be tomorrow, 7 p.m. at Alec Box Stadium. They'll bring you a complete replay of the festivities featuring Coach Jay Johnson and LSU players right after our Pelicans draft special. That's tomorrow, 9 p.m. here on WWLAMFM.com. And, of course, the free Odyssey app. Real quick, looking at the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line before we leave. Seeing from Texter 7862, remembering the College World Series back when Warren Morris's walk-off says, flashback, I was walking to my Navy barracks in 96 when I heard screaming in a room. A squadron mate who I knew from Louisiana came out, saw me, grabbed me by the shoulder, started shaking me. He was going nuts. Warren Morris had just crushed that walk-off home run. Charlie, how old were you then?
Pre-me. I was not around.
I was a 21-year-old young man at that point.
There you go,
so
Steve.
Fond memories.
I'm looking forward to tomorrow, man.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. Talk to you then. Later.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.